So when I was sending a note to David that we were going to do love for February, I said, do big love songs. That was all I told him. So I'm really grateful. Thank you. That's a big love song. So thank you for choosing to be here today in this spiritual community. We know you had a choice. I feel like I'm the airline stewardess. Sorry, they don't call them that anymore. The flight attendants. We know you had a choice, and we're delighted you chose to fly with us today. So today's talk title, Only Love Knows Love, is a spiritual truth, and it's a challenge, right? Because it makes us decide how to be, how to see, how to engage and interact and move from a position. It's not exactly easy, no matter what the song said. So when I was thinking about the talk title, the first story that showed up in my mind was one I hadn't thought about in a long time. And it was a story from the Christian Bible. And it's a story that Dr. Holmes spent like 10 or 11 pages in that book that Shelley was talking about retelling. That's really unusual, because he doesn't give individual stories that much airtime. But the prodigal son story is really pretty fascinating because it's three different personas. There's the prodigal son, the one who takes all the goodies that he's due and he goes off to create himself, to have his own life away from everybody and do his own thing. We know this person, right? We've done it. Well, you know, as it happens sometimes, he blows his inheritance, and he finds himself in a deep, dark place, and eventually he wakes up and decides to go home. So that's character one. Character two is the son who stays home, who minds it, who does it what he's supposed to, and he's very appropriate, and he's very, you know, like, honorable. And so when his brother comes back, son number two is kind of pissed because he's actually followed the rules and he didn't get any special treatment. And the dad is like happy to see this vagabond son come back. And he's really irritated about that. We know that person too, right? We've done that. What caught my eye when I was thinking about this story was what the dad did. Because the dad didn't fuss at the son who came back and say, you shouldn't have, blah, blah, blah. He said, my son who was dead is back. The dad talked, lived, acted from that position of love. And when the grumpy son who stayed home wouldn't come to the party because he, you know, it was for his brother, the dad said, what's the deal, dude? Everything I have belongs to you. Why can't you celebrate your brother? We have been all of these people. We have been the one that took our inheritance and went and blew it. We have been the one that stayed home and said, I'm being the responsible one. How come I don't get special treatment? And we have been the one that was able to stand in that spot of love and say, yes, I celebrate this. I celebrate life. I celebrate the good. And so today's talk, I'm going to dance all around it. Well, I'm not going to dance really because I don't dance. But I'm going to play with the contents of this idea because we all do all three. And we all get to decide minute by minute by minute how we choose to be and how we choose to engage. Because as everybody knows, there's lots to work with at the moment, right? So, Dr. Holmes, in The Science of Mind, in a different place, page 147, do we desire to live in a world peopled by friends who love us, surrounded by things beautiful and pleasing? There is but one way, and this way is as certain as that the sun shines. And here he switches to all caps, which I take that he's yelling. Daily, we must control all thought that denies the real and affirm the divine presence within us. Boy, is that hard sometimes. We must control all thought that denies the real and affirm the divine presence within us. And he continues back in lowercase. Then, as the mist disappears before the sun, so shall adversity melt before the shining radiance of our exalted thought. The prodigal son remained a prodigal as long as he chose to do so. And when he chose to return to his father's house, in quotes, he was greeted with outstretched arms. So shall our experience be when we return to the world which is perfect. There will be something that will turn to us. We shall behold a new heaven and a new earth, not in some far-off place, but here and now. This is the high road of fulfillment in our lives. The son did it because he chose to come home. He chose to come back to what was true. He chose to come back to what was real. The father character provided that because he was the presence able to maintain that spot, maintain that position, and we have that capability. We have that, I won't say responsibility, because we don't have to. We have that option to stand in the space of love, to stand in that position of seeing the highest and best and most beneficial, no matter what. That's when it gets gnarly, right? And it doesn't mean that bad stuff won't happen. That's never guaranteed. But we get to see, we get to choose how to decide to see it. Do you know what a difference that makes? When you have something untoward that shows up in your life, and you look at it and say, oh, this is so terrible, I'm just gonna crawl under a rock and die. Or you can say, well, this is interesting. What do I do with this now? That part is entirely up to us. That part is entirely ours to control. That part is entirely ours to decide how we're going to be. And when we can do that, we can stand with Emma Curtis Hopkins and say, there is good for me and I ought to have it. Because she, no matter what went was going down, said, no, there is good here. Period. And I claim it. So my notes, I have a little placeholder, it says story. I kept hoping for a different story than the one I'm going to tell, but I don't have one, so I'm going to use the one I have. So last Monday, I was driving to the office, and I got sideswiped in my car. And, you know, it's a car. I love my car, but it's just a car, right? And the poor, nice man who sideswiped me with his great, huge, big truck made a really nice decoration on the side of my car. It's quite decorative. And he, oh my God, are you okay? Yeah, I'm driving a Subaru, okay? I'm fine. It's got a good passenger cage. I'm very well protected. My car looks like crap. But I could be completely out of round about this. And nothing is served. Absolutely nothing is served. There's insurance. I have it. He has it. It'll be fixed. It's just metal and paint. Why would I screw my life up being upset? Why? We are always at choice. We are always in the position to say, I choose to see this as a positive thing somehow. And I may not know how. I mean, it may, and you know, the poor man who hit me said, my wife's gonna kill me. I broke her car last week. And I'm thinking, well, dude, maybe this is an occasion for you to wake up. Pay more attention. Don't know. You know, it's not mine to know. It's really none of my business. My business is to mind my business. And to say, yeah, it's metal and paint, and yeah, there's insurance, and it's a little bit of an irritant. But it's not a big deal. I can stand in the space of love and say, I'm not hurt, he's not hurt, there's insurance, it'll be fixed. Standing in that place of, there is good for me and I ought to have it, doesn't mean nothing goes wrong. It means no matter what I experience, I am not crashed by it. And the same is available to you, and some of you actually are better at this than me already. And every single one of us can get more better, because every single one of us has the capability to remember where to stand, and the point of view to take, and the place to decide. So there's a woman, a poet named Cary Williams Clifford, who published a poem in 1922 called Quest. My goal outdistances the utmost star, yet it encompasses my inmost soul. I am my goal, my quest to know myself, to chart and compass this unfathomed sea. Myself must plumb the boundless universe. My soul contains all thought, all mystery, all wisdom of the great infinite mind. This is to discover. I must voyage far, at last to find it in my pulsing heart. So we look for it out there, because that's what we're conditioned to do. But the truth of the matter is, it's within our own rib cage and radiates from that and creates our surroundings all the time. A quote from Wayne Dyer that you know, actually two of them, one you know and one you probably don't. Loving people live in a loving world. Hostile people live in a hostile world. Same world. The one you probably don't know, conflict cannot survive without your participation. And this doesn't mean we just roll over and accept whatever shows up. It also doesn't satisfy the requirements of the Hebrew Torah, the Christian Old Testament, or the Muslim Quran, retribution style of justice, the eye for the eye, the tooth for the tooth, or cutting off the hand of the thief. Gandhi was misquoted. His family says, well, it sounds like something he could have said, but we don't actually have it like written down any place or recorded. An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. Standing in the space of love, recognizing love, seeing love with our eyes and our mind gives us the chance to not have a blind world. Doesn't mean it won't happen, but it increases the odds that we have the opportunity to create a world that actually does work. So, when we manage to remember to create from our heart, to see with the eyes of our heart, we actually have that possibility of seeing with love, seeing and engaging in a loving fashion no matter what. Ernest Holmes and Raymond Charles Barker wrote in a little book called 365 Days of Richer Living that Wendy has at the book table on page 37. There seems to be a strange quirk in the human mind. It has the ability to remember so much that is not good and to remember so little that is good. Whenever we look at the past, we almost always remember the great hurts and fail to recall the great joys and blessings we have experienced. Memory, in its true sense, is the capacity to remember our origin in God and the steady unfoldment of our nature through experience. It is the ability to know again and again that we are created by an infinite mind and prospered in all our ways by an infinite love. It reminds us of our divine destiny to abide in all that is true and good. As we do this, all fear is removed from our thought, for there is an inner uprising of faith in ourselves and in our fellow humans. The mind that created us sustains us, unfolds our good before us, and leads us into pleasant ways. Wouldn't it just be totally amazing if everybody got along all the time? What if everybody agreed in every single thing? What if we didn't have to pay attention because everything worked perfectly? And everything was handled. Do you smell the trap? Boring. That's one. There are several. We're not meant to be exactly the same. It's the multiplicity, the many facets in us that make our world work. Difference does not mean wrong. It just means different. The real trap is who gets to decide. And who gets to decide implies who gets left out. Because we all have to own our piece of this decision, right? We all have our part to play in creating this experience called life and living in a way that we all benefit. Carl Jung published a book called The Undiscovered Self in 1957. The subtitle of this work is called The Dilemma of the Individual in Modern Society. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And if we look back at the years before and around when that book was published, here are some of the larger issues we would find. Russia started the space race by launching Sputnik 1. A number of countries were testing hydrogen and atomic bombs. The rumblings of the Vietnam War were starting and the Korean War had just ended. McCarthyism was crazy. desegregation was going on with all the challenges and the struggles. There was a Suez Canal crisis. There was a Cuban Missile crisis that was going to happen in a few years. China invaded Tibet, and shortly thereafter, the Dalai Lama escaped secretly to India. And the bird flu killed thousands. Sounds kind of like now, right? We have this story that we tell ourselves, that the world that we live in is broken. The world is always broken, if we see it that way. The world is also perfect because it gives us an opportunity. We have to remember, we don't have to remember, it's useful to remember that our internal point of view colors and shapes our experience. And we get to decide what that world looks like. So, back to Jung on page 110 and 11. As at the beginning of the Christian era, so again today, we are faced with the problem of moral backwardness. So much is at stake, and so much depends on the psychological constitution of the modern man. Remember, this was written 70 years ago, 60 years ago. Is he capable of resisting temptation? Is he conscious of the path he is treading? Does the individual know that he, this is everyone, not a specific limited he, everyone, is the make-weight that tips the scale? I love that image. The old-fashioned scale where you'd put a thing on one side to balance out the other. Every single one of us is the make-weight that tips the scale in the direction of our choosing. Happiness and contentment, equability of the soul, and meaningfulness of life, these can be experienced only by the individual. I think this may be the most challenging aspect of this philosophy and philosophies like ours, because we are individually responsible for our own thoughts, and we create our experiences out of the way we decide to perceive the world. And we are always deciding moment by moment by moment. It's so easy to point the finger at somebody else and say it's their fault, it's their responsibility, it's their doing that my world is so messed up. Actually, no. I decided that I would not be true. I decided I would just crumble instead of stand. Like I said, this is the most difficult aspect of this teaching, because it makes us individually responsible for our experience. So I was really delighted that when we did the community planning thing a couple weeks ago, somebody said, we really need to have a thing where we can get together and we can talk about how we talk about this philosophy to other people. Because I want to be able to answer the question, what church do you go to? What do they believe there? We're doing the first one of those today, after service. So if this is something that intrigues you, and you're at least curious about it, grab a lunch and come to the office, and we'll just talk. There's stuff that is written that we can use, but really it's how do you have the experience of this teaching in your life, and how does it show up and improve your quality of life? That's what matters. It's not doctrine or dogma. It's personal experience. So Booker T. Washington, I shall allow no man to belittle my soul by making me hate him. I shall allow no man to belittle my soul by making me hate him. And then from my point of view, Martin Luther King's sermon on loving your enemies from a little book called Strength to Love. I think this should be required reading, probably every week, for everybody. He writes, "Why should we love our enemies? The first reason is fairly obvious. Returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Violence multiplies violence. Toughness multiplies toughness. A descending spiral of destruction." So when Jesus said, "Love your enemies," he's setting forth a profound and ultimately inescapable admonition. Have we not come to such an impasse in the modern world that we must love our enemies or else? Don't know. What kind of world do you want to live in? So my challenge for you this week, and for all of us really, is to notice when we're not engaging the world and all beings, situations and circumstances, with the eyes of love, from a heart of love. To stop, if we choose, and remember to shift our focus and our intention to stand there. Believe it or not, love is what we're made of, and it's up to us to act like it. So I want to close with three things. I had two at first, and then Donna handed me the other one, the third one in the lobby. At Vision Corps this week, one of Daniel Namod's songs showed up as someone's highest vision for CSLT. The song's title is "It's All About Love." It goes like this. I'm not singing. "Life is not about heartbreak or hunger or need. It's not about sacrifice that leaves us to bleed. There's something more important that we're all born to know. Because whatever we do and wherever we go, it's all about love. Just open your heart, love fills it up. It's all about love. Love is the miracle of the newborn child. Love is that someone that makes your heart go wild. But however you feel it, it's all the same thing. It's the spirit within you that makes you want to sing. It's all about love. Just open your heart, love fills it up. It's all about love. So when your world is overflowing with pain, when you don't remember sky without rain, just hold on, help is on the way, bringing a perfect new world and a bright new day. It's all about love. Just open your heart. Love fills it up. It's all about love. And if that's too much, too big of a step, I offer these words from the Dalai Lama. I love it. He spoke them when he was speaking to the U.S. Senate in March of 2014. I didn't know that until yesterday. Be kind whenever possible. It's always possible. And then the third piece from this month's Science of Mind magazine. Michael Gott, who is now the Unity Minister in Houston, and back in 2016 or 2017, he wasn't Unity Minister yet. He was still a musician, traveling, doing concerts and stuff, and we had him here. It was very cool. But he wrote the daily guides in the Science of Mind magazine this month. And in the one for February 1st, When I first began my metaphysical studies, I was confused by the jargon. I had no place to put the concepts. My first teacher, Reverend Claudia Franklin, said to me, probably in exasperation, "Michael, what we really teach is it's all love." I'm not sure I fully understood it then, but my soul and heart leapt in recognition. This love is what I am. It's what everybody is. I'm here to be love. I'm here to see love in me, in everybody. I often forget, but I remember now more quickly and more often. And that's what's true. We are love in form. We forget easily, quickly, often. And when we pay attention, we remember more often. Remember more often. Bless yourself and bless us all. Thank you. So now it's time for our community affirmative prayer treatment. I didn't give you a time in that to like close your eyes and hold that thought in your heart like I usually do, but it didn't work today. But I'm going to ask you to do it now. Think of a situation, a circumstance, a conversation, a relationship, something where it would be to your benefit and to the benefit of the whole if you could stand and remember and act and breathe and think from that place of love. Grab a hold of that. Hold it in mind while I speak the words. Infinite radiant life. All-powerful love, wholeness, allness, isness, that essential nature that lives, moves, and has its being in every living thing. In everything animate and inanimate, the motive force, the power behind it, is love. This same love moves planets, weather systems, geologic time and space, and operates our bodies and minds. And this love, which is our true essence, gives us options to express that or something else. So in this moment, I remember that love is my essence and the essence of every individual. And when I live and move and have my being in alignment with my true essence, my world works better. My world is brighter. My world is more kind, more gentle, and more generous. And I know the same truth for and about every individual. Love is the wholeness of life and the allness of existence. And when I remember and rest in that, I feel the calmness and the peaceableness and the gentleness. And I rest in that and smile, knowing the words as true, I let them be, and so it is.
So it is. Thank you. me love in a holy, holy way. Let me love in a holy, holy way. Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Let me love in a holy, holy way.
Oh, let me know that love is all around me.
Let me know that love is all around me.
Oh, let my steps reveal a path of peace.
Let my steps reveal a path of peace.
Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Let me love in a holy, holy way.
Let me love in a holy, holy way.
Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Let me love in a holy, holy way.
So thank you for being here today.